Hi, Goodvach. This is Yisachar Wartell, and we are now up to Parshat Akev, right? As so many different meanings, heel, if, conditional, many, many different things. So many things to talk about in this week's Parsha. All of these Parshiot are filled with so many different possible topics. I'm going to try and deal with a couple different ones today. The first one is that in this week's parsha, Moshe warns, and you will say in your heart, it is my strength and the power of my hand that I made this thing. The word for thing here, so first of all, let's give context. It basically is being overly believing in yourself. You know, Hashem will give you things, will have, you know, allowed you to get into the, you know, to conquer the land, will allow you to be successful, and you're gonna inadvertently, or we will, whatever, inadvertently base it on our own strengths and not necessarily say, oh, it all came from the Koach of Hashem. So the word that they use for thing here is a strange word. And that's even how we're translating it. It's not even so pashut to translate it as thing. It's the word chayal, which actually is a, or chayil, really, which generally actually means a soldier. And in this case, it's specifically a thing or a matter that is an accomplishment or a triumph. It's not just a thing, meaning like a, you know, a piece of wood or something, right? It's a thing that you, it's like, oh my gosh, I did that thing, right? It was an accomplishment or a triumph. The Torah is warning us to not see our accomplishments in life solely through our own hands, because we could have not succeeded if it were not for Hashem's will and with His help. And that also makes sense, because if you think about like a soldier in the army, he may do something really brave and important, but ultimately it's a collective effort. Or if it's an effort of the one who designed the war plans, the army general, or, you know, whoever it might be. So that one chayil may be very important, but he's not the one who really makes or breaks usually an accomplishment or a triumph. It's really the whole thing. So it's another possible way of explaining that. Now the next pasuk says, Zacharta et Hashem Elokecha, ki hu notem lecha koach la'asot chayil. He's the one who appointed you. He's the one who appointed you as a quote-unquote a soldier. He is the one who gave you this accomplishment or triumph. Pasuk, you translate it literally, it says, and you shall remember Hashem your God, for he is the one who gave you strength to do this chayil. Now, later in the parsha, the Torah writes, "Hu tehillatcha v'hu elokecha." He is the one who you will praise, and he is your God. Seems a little superfluous. So, why are you going to be praising him? Because you shouldn't be praising yourself. Right? People often praise themselves for their accomplishments and their status and everything that they've done, but the main one we should be praising is Hashem. Hashem is your God, and therefore he should be the one that you're praising. Don't fool yourself with ego. Say, "I did this. I did this." Ultimately, Hashem controls what happens. Now, we have to, of course, put in our hishtadlus, and we should be proud of our accomplishments. But being proud of our accomplishments is not the same thing as praising ourselves. There's a big level of difference. It might be the same idea, but one's obviously a lot stronger than the other. We don't want to become haughty. We don't, you know, gaiva is one of the worst midos we can possibly have, along with anger. And then, of course, if we're haughty, in addition to obviously all of the other dangers that that presents, one of the dangers that can present is that it's like, I'm good. I don't need God, right? To think that we no longer need him because we think we're mighty, we're all that. And then, even if we don't go and worship Avodah Zarah, we may worship other things that are, in a certain sense, tantamount to Avodah Zarah. We may worship money. We may worship ourselves. People who have really, really big egos, in a sense, worship themselves almost as if they were a God. Paro even did this. And we see this with many celebrities as well. I'm not going to get into any specific. But the Torah also continues with the next pasuk. It speaks of our humble beginnings, right? It was the merit of our forefathers that brought us to become a nation. 70 men came to Mitzrayim, and through Hashem's grace and kindness, chesed, we multiplied and were saved, you know, through horrible things. And we had amazing and abundant and explicit miracles over and over and over again, increasing and increasing and increasing to the ultimate Yetzia and the Kriyas Yamsuf. He did the big things for us. We did small things. Those small things are not unimportant. But ultimately, the big things, Hashem is the orchestrator. Hashem is the quote-unquote army general or whoever orchestrates, you know, the whole battle scene. Or even you want to get further beyond, it's, you know, God orchestrates who's going to win the battle. But Hashem also does little things. So he doesn't only do the big things. He doesn't only determine the big decision of whether there's going to be accomplishments or triumphs, but also little accomplishments and triumphs in our everyday lives. And we should celebrate those. Something goes well, we should thank Hashem. We put in some effort, acknowledge the effort, be proud that we put in the effort, but thank Hashem. Always be grateful for all of the little things that go right. Don't focus necessarily on what's going wrong, but always focus on the fact that Hashem helped you do these little things. It's not always about necessarily the big things. It's our job to always remember that Hashem always will help us in life and help us with all these little things that we need. So that's one piece. The other piece I wanted to talk to you about is going back to the beginning of the parsha where it says, "Vahaya." So many commentaries, but virtually every single commentary has a lot to say just on the first pasuk. So we'll translate it as literally as we can. And it shall be that if you will listen or hearken to these laws and safeguard them and perform them, do them. The Sfas writes that the Torah is instructing us to do three things. Actually, there are many Mefarshim that talk about this concept of three, and also see my written Dvar this week about that. But it's to listen, to guard, and to do. Specifically, he explains that we are commanded to hear and learn about the mitzvos and to internalize them in our heart. This corresponds to the first of the three ways in which we are to love Hashem, as we were just recently commanded in last week's parsha in the first paragraph of the Shema. Then, all of our souls, nafshecha, and with all of our physical assets, our material wealth. The idea of listening or learning something and internalizing it is only beneficial if one hearkens or hears, pays attention to the material. And therefore, you should instill it into levavcha, into your heart. Now, that's the first piece primarily, right? Listening, understanding it, and internalizing it, things like that. Second piece is for us to safeguard or keep the mitzvot. It's not enough to know and have a basic understanding of the mitzvot, but you should internalize it even further to the fact that it's actually part of your makeup. It's part of one's essence, that one's being should always strive to be in the way of Hashem and the fulfillment of his mitzvah. And that's why the Sfas teaches that this lesson of Shmira, which we'll translate as safeguarding or keeping, is connected to the word in the second part of this term in the Shema, which is nafshecha, because it's got to be part of our nefesh. It's got to be intricately part of us. We must make it part of who of us and who we are. And the third part of the pasuk is to do the mitzvah. This is not only to observe mitzvah in a theoretical sense, but to actively perform mitzvah on a regular basis. And this is connected to me'odecha, which is your material wealth. We're given the ability to buy things, to buy a lulav, to buy an etrog, to buy tefillin, to buy a siddur, to buy sfarim. And also, of course, to give money, to give charity to one's fellow man, use things that you've purchased to help other people, get a car to give people a ride, etc. Right? So use your material wealth, whatever you do have, even if it's not a lot, to help others or to do mitzvah, which of course is also helping others is also mitzvah. Now in this week's parsha, we have the second paragraph of the Shema. We had the first and last week's parsha. We have the second paragraph here. The Sfas Emes notes, however, that the concept of me'odecha is absent in the second paragraph, even though it's there in the first paragraph. And perhaps to teach us that although Hashem has given us money, material wealth, property, things like that, and we are supposed to use them properly and accords with Hashem's will, we don't need these to become close to Hashem or to become close to others. Yes, Hashem will give us material benefits, and we will need to use them properly. And if Hashem gives it to us, that means we're supposed to use them for proper uses, charity, helping other people, buying objects of mitzvot, things like that. But we don't necessarily need those. There are people who have been either very destitute or just very non-attached to physical items, and they have been incredibly, like you look at Rav Kanievsky, Zichrono Bracha. He had very, 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 very little property, and he was so incredibly close to Hashem. And of course, you can go back in history, so many people. The second paragraph of the Shema, V'haya, says, what you need to do is instill it into your heart and use all of your soul. Even if you only have a few physical means, you can still hear what other people have to say, learn and internalize. Certainly from Kaddish Baruch Hu, but even as a life lesson with other people, you can still be present in this world and fully function, even if you don't have a lot. Now, obviously, you need to be able to have some food in your stomach, but essentially, you don't need to have a lot of material wealth. You can have a little bit and get by, and you can still pay attention to what other people have to say and learn and internalize. Sometimes maybe that'll even allow you to get some material wealth in a more comfortable life. But ultimately, our goal is to become close to Hashem and to internalize his mitzvot and make them part of our soul, make part of our nefesh. And this is specifically in the plural. It says levavchem and nafshechem rather than the singular, because we have an obligation to help each other not only serve Hashem, but to serve Hashem with love. That's a big piece. To internalize the Torah and the mitzvot in a way that we will all come closer to our Creator and all of his creations. Obviously, we need Yira. We need Yirat Shamayim, but a true Yira also comes with a deep appreciation and respect. And among that is an amazing love of everything, going back to what we said before, even the very little things that he does for us day in and day out, and looking for all of those beautiful, amazing things that he helps us with. Like, oh, this went right, this went right. Hashem helped me with this. Hashem helped me with that. Hashem made this succeed. Not everything's going to work out But like when things do, it's very important to thank Hashem because he helps us all the time. And we have the ability to really recognize this, try and be more cognizant of this, of these little things like, oh, wow, thank you. Right. And, you know, whether you look up or however you in your heart, just, you know, look in your heart, talk to Hashem, whatever it is. But we have the ability to do that, you know, no matter where we are in life, no matter we're busy at work, we're at home with the kids or, you know, lying in bed, whatever it is, we have the ability to sit, think about our day and thank Hashem. Wishing you all an amazing Shabbat Shalom.